as opposed to the
other. No problem. Hold on, we're not ready to start. Go ahead and get us loose and live here. All right, call the meeting back to order. Eddie?
I don't know. I'm not saying we don't want to make some changes or anything like that, but I don't know that you want to make changes that would go into effect now that would be looking at your other districts, I guess is what I'm saying, without the use of the other districts. Does that make sense to you?
So the districts that were approved by planning zone, those are approved districts.
They are ready to be fleshed out and everything, yes, sir.
Okay, so that's basically, we need to be judging ourselves, the code book, against those districts.
Okay, and that's fine. I just want to make sure what we're doing.
But
I mean, at that particular time, you kind of want this all to go hand in hand.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
Because, you wouldn't want to pass something without having that.
No, I mean, I'm just making sure as we go forward, we're making some fundamental changes with the code book, keeping in mind that Planning and Zoning Commission has already approved the new district.
That is correct, yes, sir.
So we just need to make sure they all work together, yes.
Okay, I want to make sure where we're headed. So.
All right.
So we're all done, let's see, we're done buffer. Building bulk and scale. The total size, height, length, and width of a building or structure and its visual impact on the landscape as compared to neighboring structures.
Okay.
Building materials, the exterior materials.
Building
height. Height of a building or structure measured from grade to the highest point on the roof line. Antenna, chimney, and vents may extend above the roof line.
Does that have anything to do with the way we measure?
That would go back up to that base that base plane.
So do we need to have base plane in here somewhere?
Probably.
Because the measurement is the base plane that we've established how we're measuring.
Yeah, we said.
You may just want to make sure you put something in there with the base plane notation, because we've established how we're going to measure, and this is the actual measurement of it, so we need to put the two together.
It might need to say base plane to the highest point on the roof line.
Measured from the base plane to the highest point would probably all you have to do.
And antenna, chimneys, and vents may extend above the roof line, yeah, but do you measure them? I don't think you do, according to the first sentence.
No, they're, from the way I read this, it is the roof line. If the chimney goes higher or the antenna goes higher, it's not considered part of that measurement.
If you would just make a note to base plane needs to be referred in that definition somewhere, since we've spent the extra time to create definition for base plane. Go on. Let me scroll down here for us.
Building materials. The exterior materials that determine the appearance of a building or structure.
All right.
Certificate of compliance. A document issued by the Planning and Zoning Department allowing the occupancy or use of a building and certifying that the structure or use is in compliance with all applicable Taney County Development Guidance Code provisions and permit requirements.
This is what people so commonly call certificate of occupancy, which we don't issue.
Right.
We issue certificate of compliance.
Mm-hmm. On commercial buildings, the fire districts normally issue a C of O.
But we don't issue either one. Okay. I mean, we don't do the C of O.
Basically, what we're saying is the building was built
compliance
what it was supposed
to the existing
to be
code.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Class 1 through 4 cropland. The cropland classification used by the United States Department of Agriculture and the Natural Resource Conservation Service.
Why is that in there? Just curious. Do we ever use that?
Back when you get into your relative and your absolute policies, it'll talk about areas that are.
Isn't that fall within agricultural, though?
Yeah, but if you're trying to build something next to the agricultural area, are you compatible with the agricultural area? Is that?
It talks about the conversion of croplands if we're going to permit a project. Is there any conversion of these type of croplands in order to do this?
Is this Natural Resource Conservation Service, is that by the state of Missouri?
They make the determination on the type of cropland.
State does or the federal government?
Well, Department of Ag would be the federal government.
But the natural resource, is that also federal government you're saying in there? That's all federal?
I don't know about the second one, but the first one is federal.
Yeah, and usually when we talk natural resources, we're talking about the state.
Can you define that? If it's state, put state. State of Missouri's, I mean, I hate to be granular like that, but I just want to make sure that no one says, oh, that's Taney County's Natural Resource Conservation Service.
Yeah, but I don't.
I just want to.
I don't even know why it's in there. It's in there because it's mentioned in the relative policies when you're doing your scoring.
I'm not recommending taking anything out. I just want to further clarify.
And under that it talks under these relative policies. It talks about this type of croplands. It talks about endangered species. A lot of different things like that. Now,
we don't get involved in that. That's the reason I don't understand this being in there. Is we don't get involved in that part of endangered species, all that kind of stuff. That's not Taney County's planning and zoning business, is it? I mean, are you professionals in that line?
If the federal government said you can't build buildings on a piece of property for some reason, I guess what I'd ask is, would we want to say, okay, go ahead and build on it? Is that close to...
Right. It's a matter of being in compliance with some other agencies, and as we go through our process, a lot of times we require them to, if we're in this situation,
You don't want to approve them to violate other laws of other governmental agencies.
It's mentioned three other times in there.
As for instance, we had a project out... on 65 there, and there was an endangered species in the creek down there, and it required some study by the Department of Natural Resources and everything in order for them to move forward with that before they could just go in and do what they want.
So it's
what we
would
permit.
Okay.
So it people came in with that complaint that this particular crawfish and we had to get a letter from.
Blind cavefish is what I was used to in Northwest Arkansas when they built an airport. So they found one.
I
saw two of these when I was out there with DNR.
Okay, there you go. So, clearing.
The clearing of land through the movement and or disturbance of soil.
All right.
Commercial property. Property or activity associated with a property established for the sole or main purpose of saleability and or profitability. Such commercial activities include business, industry, and trade.
Okay.
Compatibility, land use and or improvements that are similar to that of other land use and or improvements that are within 1,000 feet, whether directly adjoining or not.
Where did the number come from?
The number came with the book.
I just came with it.
So that's what I'm saying. You're going to find a lot of that stuff like that. And I'm not trying to be snide or anything like that. It's just those were just figures that were settled on.
Would you make a note of that somewhere? And we need to see what other code books of first
why
class.
Why is it 750? Why isn't it
1500? Why is it not 1500? Why is it not 250? I'm just curious. I mean, there may be some, if there's a statute in there somewhere, let's put the referring statute, and then if not, then.
Probably not.
We just need to find out, maybe work on finding out a little bit more definition of what that is. Danny, do you agree?
Yeah. Anything that has a.
We need to know why it's.
Somebody made it up.
All right, County Commission, I'm curious to see what the definition is.
Elected officials responsible for establishing policies and procedures, enacting ordinances, supervising the activities of county departments, and adopting county budgets, and providing various other services may also be referred to as county commissioners and commissioners.
We've been referred to other things than that, but we'll take those two.
Critical area.
Come on down here and let me scroll the screen. Critical area. Go ahead.
An area with one or more of the following environmental characteristics. 1, slopes in excess of 30%. 2, floodplain. 3, soil classified as having high water tables. 4, soils classified as highly erodible, subject to erosion or highly acidic. 5, land incapable of meeting soil evaluation standards for wastewater systems. 6, land formerly used for landfill operations or hazardous industrial uses. 7 fault zones, 8 stream corridors, 9 mature stands of native vegetation, 10 wetlands and wetland transition areas, number 11 habitats of endangered species, number 12 lake shores, number 13 class 1 to 4 croplands, and number 14 karst features such as caves, sinkholes, and losing streams.
I mean, the only thing I see is 30%. I see 30% slope, but I think that makes sense. That's a critical. I mean, it's pretty steep. All right, moving on. Did we go down here? Decision of record?
Decision of record is a formal, official, and documented record of the staff or planning commission findings supporting the approval or rejection of an application for a permit.
Okay.
Designated official is the administrator of the Taney County Planning and Zoning Department or assigned delegate as designated by the county commission and the planning commission. charged with the operation of the Planning and Zoning Department and with the administration of the Department Guidance Codes as directed by the Planning Commission. Reference sections 64.810 and 64.865 of the Missouri Revised State Statute.
Really, this is just the County Commission. We designate the administrator, don't we?
And you should take out state. It shouldn't say Missouri Revised State Statutes. If they're the Missouri Revised Statutes, that's how they're generally referred to. They are the state statutes. It's just superfluous.
So take this out here.
Take the state, just the state. Just
take that word out.
Yes.
Okay. And read that first sentence. I mean,
the administrator of the Taney County Planning and Zoning Department or assigned delegate as designed by the County Commission and the Planning Commission charged with the operation of the Planning and Zoning Department and the administration of the Development Guidance Codes
but
as directed by the Planning Commission.
We choose that, don't we, Danny?
You do. You probably should read state statute.
Okay.
I believe it states in there that they're supposed to make a recommendation to you for different things
that's
like that.
That's right. I remember that we've had that issue before. Okay, moving on. All right.
Developer, a person, partnership, or corporation engaged in the development of land. The developer, by definition, owns the property to be developed. A property owner may retain or contract representatives to assist in the design, approval, and construction of a development, but the application must be filed in the name of the owner of record.
Okay.
Development, the general term used to refer to any proposed land use change, subdivision, construction, or building that is required by this code to have a permit. Also, it is the process of grading, clearing, filling, quarrying, construction, or similar activities. Easement.
You agree with that, aren't you, Danny?
Yeah, I don't. Is this going to kind of get into what we were talking about? That we had to complain on as far as the clearing, grading.
What we're saying, by this definition, we're saying if someone is grading property,
it's
considered development.
There's another definition of grading on further down.
Can I just make a point on grammar maybe? Grading, clearing, filling, quarrying, construction, or similar. Shouldn't it say constructing?
I didn't write it, guys.
Add constructing. Grammatically, that's probably correct. Constructing. All right. And you said there's a better definition of grading?
I said there's another definition. I didn't say it was any better. But there, just down a little further, there is a definition of grading.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was my question. Thank you, James. The question was, what does grading have to do with the word, I think, developing or?
Clearing.
And that's.
If you want to put up a building and you got a bunch of trees there, you probably have to clear it. But there'll be other definitions, I think, that will clear the issue up a little bit. I think this is just what they're considering development.
Are we saying a non-agricultural use?
That's not development. I don't see that clearing and grading is development.
It depends on what use. If it's a commercial property, a residential subdivision, yes. If it's agriculture, no. I mean, if you're clearing property,
use is all driving on that. Yes, that is correct.
I mean, I understand that's what my thought is. We're not. We really don't. I mean, of course, it's a definition, but.
Process.
I don't know if I would say clearing. I don't know. Clearing seems to me.
What
it's,
about grading?
Grading seems to be because you'd be grading to put a building or structure to grade. So.
What if I'm grading it so the water sits right on my rice farm? I mean, you know, there would be objections to every one of those words possibly in some context.
Just highlight development. Let's come back. We possibly will come back to that. And maybe the other definitions further down help clear that up. And if it does, we may want to lump them all together. Go ahead.
Easement, a property right-of-way held by the owner that entitles the holder to apply and enforce restrictions on its use.
Okay.
Economic growth, a positive change in the level of production or goods and services in the county over a sustained period of time.
Okay.
Erosion, the wearing away of land by actions of wind, water, and or gravity.
Sounds reasonable.
Farm buildings and structures, barns, farrowing houses, machine sheds, poultry houses, sheds, and other structures not meant for human habitation or occupancy. Farm buildings and structures are exempt from all provisions of the development guidance, or excuse me. Farm buildings and structures are exempt from all provisions of the development codes if they are located on agriculturally zoned property.
Before you go on, I want to make sure that we are...
I have a problem with agriculturally zoned property.
Yeah, we shouldn't have the word zoned in there.
So then
because
let's
we
take
don't
that
zone
word,
anything right now.
So take that out. But we will zone. Correct?
That is... Well, I'm assuming we will.
Well, I guess
we
my
have
question is...
districts.
Well, here's the problem, okay? If you're going to have objections to agricultural being exempt or not exempt, and to be fair, if you're saying that they're exempt only on places that are located in agriculturally zoned properties, that means if I'm zoned residential and I'm allowed to build houses... but I don't want to right now, all I want to do is agriculture, then I'm not exempt because I'm on residential zoned property and I'm doing agricultural uses. So by saying agriculturally zoned, you're saying something different.
Okay, well, hold on. That's a good question that I've got, though. Is it either when does the agricultural rules apply that the state statutes have defined?
Right. That gets back to the five-acre deal that I'm talking about, and we can talk about this all we want to, but there is hundreds of farms that have a residential property, and they'll have a barn that sits there either as a garage or a place that's got machinery in it within all setting on an acre and a half of property.
Okay.
So,
but I think this definition need. This is. I think
work.
But that's
need,
residential. See,
James, do you have anything you want to add to regarding this definition?
I don't think it covers it correctly. I think it's.
Should we add
not
a
in line with the assessor's office that the people has to pay taxes.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm arguing for James's point,
right.
But I don't believe that the assessor's office. Their assessment in the zoning are not necessarily related, but this says if they're located on agriculturally zoned property, they're exempt. Well, if they're zoned residential, but...
You build a farrowing house.
But you build a farm out there, even though you're zoned residential. Someday you can do residential. Right now I'm doing farming and I'm going to build a barn, and I shouldn't have to come in and get his permission if farming's exempt.
So we really should change the word from agriculturally zoned property just to agricultural property.
Correct. But you might want to just look at it, but I think that would solve the problem.
Now think about that, because that doesn't answer what he just said.
I'm
hearing this correct. Out of Shoals Bend, we've got property out there that is was subdivided and changed into a subdivision, Shoals Bend, Phase 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
It was, at one time, agricultural, there's still a lot of haying and stuff going on out there and everything, but right now it is taxed and assessed as residential property.
But that really has nothing to do with...
But if I decided I'm not going to build a house out there...
Okay.
And I want to continue. Maybe I've got two lots out there, and I've got 10 acres. And
I have to get permission. Get permission. And
well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But if I say, well, you know, I'm not going to build a house out here, so I'm going to have a place to keep my cows and everything like that. Is it agricultural? Yeah. According to this, no.
Let's get away from that and not even think about it. What if I decide I want to go out there and harvest the trees off of it? That's agricultural. I've got 5 acre track. I decide that I'm going out there and harvest, say that there's a nice grove of walnut trees scattered within that, and I decide I want to. That's agricultural. It shouldn't even be included in this.
Well, then doesn't the zoning need to change, though? Because we are creating zoning designations throughout the county with the change of the designation, the districts, so to speak. We are identifying agricultural, we're defining agriculture on the maps, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to change the use from residential to an agriculture, there needs to be some sort of change so we know it's agricultural use.
If you do district zoning, okay?
Right.
Which means that if you're agricultural, it's a cumulative thing. You can do agricultural, but you can't do residential.
Correct.
Okay. If you've got residential, you can do residential and agricultural. And if you've got commercial, you can do commercial, residential, or agricultural. And then industrial, you can do industrial. But if you're on agricultural, you can only do agricultural. But what if you're on residential or commercial, and you've got a field, and you decide, I want to put up a barn and do some agricultural, okay? Agriculture is exempt. But according to this
the
definition...
The way that says it has to be sitting on agriculturally zoned property is what he's getting at.
So if it's
that's what I'm trying to
say. Zoned, if it's zoned residential, commercial, or industrial, even though you get to do agricultural, and you want to do agricultural, you're no longer exempt. So if you want to do a barn, you have to come in and meet all the setbacks and whatever other planning and zoning requirements there might be. Whereas if it were just zoned agricultural, you wouldn't have to do that. So you're being treated differently if you're on residential, commercial, or industrial rather than being on just agricultural.
Okay, so I may ask you a what if, and maybe I'm not following you. Suppose I have a residential lot, it's a 5-acre tract, and I say, I don't want to build a house, I want to put a barn up and just, you know, harvest some hay, something like that. 6 months later, I want to make it residential. I just convert my barn to a residential structure. What's stopping you from doing that?
I don't know if there's anything stopping you from doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I do know lots of covenants cover agriculture use and subdivisions.
Right.
I know one particularly. Ranchettes was the hottest selling
right.
pieces of property for years in Taney County. And in those covenants, you can run so many horses or so many cows, mainly horses was the big issue, and their agriculture products.
So, okay, so we can move on. Well, what's the proper way to fix this definition?
I would highlight that. That's a
you're saying the zoned word needs to come out of there, is what I'm hearing Bob say.
If you're wanting an agricultural use to be, like Bob says, nest in all the way up and everything, to be exempt, then you really should take that agriculturally zoned property off of there.
But there's a good reason for leaving it in
right.
as well. It's not one that would digest too well with two of the gentlemen in the room, but if what you're trying to do is make it exempt, then you need to take zoned out of there.
And I will tell you this, and you know, we make everybody that does a subdivision set up covenants.
Yep.
And they don't work. Most of them are just non-existent.
Well, they just it's
either non-existent or unenforceable. Once
right.
once you've
it's a civil matter. So,
and I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying, you know, we cannot.
You, but we don't enforce.
Those to do something for you. Don't.
Right. It's not enforced by the county. Or,
right, no, we don't even consider them or anything.
It's a civil matter.
Wouldn't it hold up in court, though, civilly, if you had a covenant?
Not if it becomes
inactive. Most times they don't hold up real well unless they're fairly recent and they don't include anything that's illegal. Like, there are some old ones that you can't sell to people of certain race or something like mm-hmm. that. You can't do that. There are other things you can't do. And if you've allowed some people to violate it in your neighborhood, and then because it's no big deal, but then somebody really goes and violates it, you may have waived your right to enforce them. A lot of them are unenforceable or have become unenforceable. So, yes, they can be enforced if they're properly written and properly enforced and people aren't allowed to violate it at any point so that they can be waived. But it's very difficult to enforce those, and it's a private civil yeah. action. So what he's saying is don't rely on those.
Right.
I think I would highlight agricultural zoned and probably take out the word zoned if I'm making recommendations. I don't think that – I think that just adds a level of complexity. Like farm buildings and structures located on agricultural property because that's basically what we're saying. I understand the other avenue, and let's just circle, highlight, and let's go on. Is that all right with you, Danny?
That'll be a highlighted. That's what I want done.
Yep. Go ahead.
Final plan. The plan submitted by the developer that incorporates the recommendations and comments of the designated official with respect to the preliminary plan.
All right.
Floodplain. Any land area susceptible to inundation by water from any source.
Okay.
Floodway. The stream or channel.
Oh, stop.
Is that the definition that in our ordinance
by FEMA?
National floodplain ordinance?
I don't know that it is. I think that's probably a pretty weak definition.
Why don't you go ahead and somehow try to tie in the floodplain insurance, FEMA, something with what they define floodplain and floodway.
We should probably be consistent.
And the floodway fringe. Let's just make sure that you know, our definitions match up with theirs, and if we have to see attached document or whatever, we really need to be consistent with that.
You do have a...
Oh, flood...
Floodway defined there covers every ditch line.
Okay. Let's be real specific, Eddie, and you can skip those three because we need to make sure that they're covered by...
Just highlight them and
make sure we're consistent with the definition.
You have an ordinance for your floodplain management and everything like that, so it's probably in there. So
okay,
grading to reshape the ground surface through the movement of soil. This may consist of rough grading or reshaping of planned grades.
Sorry.
Grading may be done to provide more suitable sites for building and other land uses, and/or to improve surface water drainage and control erosion and sediment.
It's on two pages. It's kind of hard to say here. So this is the first part we just talked about. He just read, the reshape of ground surface through movement of soil consists of rough grading and shaping. That makes sense there.
Wait, leave it up there because I think that's one thing that I had a little question about.
Okay, there you go. It's all in one here.
This consistent.
No, I guess it's just grading. I'm sorry, grading and conservation plan. So it's just this right here we're talking about.
That pretty well describes the grading. Now, if a person's out when you talk about grading, a lot of people do grading on their fields, hay fields, things like that, for leveling purposes.
Right.
So, but I think that other part of the very back of that takes care of that. Grading may be done to provide suitable sites for building.
Right, it does.
Okay, and then that kind of eliminates the... I don't want to get into a situation where we have someone going out into a field or location out there and trying to cause trouble with somebody that's doing some grading on for a hay field.
Right.
Or angle blading. That's grading.
Okay, moving on.
Grading and conservation plan. More information on grading and conservation plans may be obtained from the local offices of the Natural Resource Conservation Service or a professional landscape architect. So it really doesn't give you a definition of that.
I think a grading plan was required for a dirt disturbance permit at the state
There's
level.
A sediment and erosion control plan, yes, sir.
Would you kind of fix that definition so that makes more sense of what we're trying to say? And
If
we just need to do away with that definition and go sediment erosion control planning by DNR, then let's use their definition. Is there a sediment something in there?
I was going to look and see real quick. So,
because that's what DNR uses.
Sediment control plan.
Is it in there already?
Yes, sir. It says the plan required before a grading permit may be issued and may be included as part of a preliminary plan required under a...
Well, I would suggest that, Eddie, then my recommendation would be to do away with that paragraph completely, or just says see sediment control plan, you know, and then we define it down there based off what DNR uses.
Is there a sediment control deal on there somewhere?
Yeah, he just read off part of it. We'll need to fix that.
Yeah, it's a little further down in
okay,
here.
Okay, we'll just do away with that, or highlight it for controversial talk.
All right, keep on going.
Green space, a vegetated public area that provides an open environment. These public spaces contribute to the social, economic, and environmental well-being of a community. They may be developed or undeveloped, but should provide free access to recreation and supporting infrastructure.
All right.
Height you need to highlight and look at with building height. Why do we have height and building height? And why does this talk about mean roof height from base plane? We need to look at and coordinate those two, I think.
Yeah. What's it doing down in that space?
Well, it's alphabetical. We've now dealt with it three different ways. Base plane, which is one definition, and then what was the other one?
Building height.
Building height under B's, and now we have H, which is height.
So we need to look at it.
Because in height, we're actually talking, this definition is talking about building height.
Which we already have.
Which I would take that definition out.
Well...
Because you're talking about roof height.
Yeah, I'm not. I think what they had settled on in the height ordinance was a mean roof height, an average, not the roof line.
Which means that the other one's incorrect. And
that is correct.
Something's wrong, and then you'd be.
I agree with you.
Don't have three definitions for the same meaning.
Yeah, that would be ugly. Well, we have it ugly now. All right, home occupy. Okay, is this one my question? What is a home-operated business according to code book? Okay,
Home occupation, any professional, craft, or commercial activity conducted as a customary, incidental, and accessory use in the resident's dwelling or accessory building to the residence for gain by the resident.
Do away with that.
That seems interesting.
In the first place,
that's part of the work. That needs lots of work there.
I don't know that unless it comes through P&Z and is approved that that even needs to be in there, because you're talking about somebody making a phone call on a business or using their phone to...
But what about opening up a restaurant in your home? I mean...
Or if you stage all of your vehicles out of that home for your business, but you don't do the work there.
Okay, I would I'm agreeing on both of you here. It we need to have something because we need to prevent the extremes that Eddie just mentioned. But this seems very vague.
I mean, if you had just one phone call and you, it covers one phone call at your house, or you know, if you're running an Avon or Mary Kay, and you get your calls and you don't do any of your business at your house, it causes a problem for you. But it should cause a problem for you if you're trying to open up a bar or a restaurant or a gentleman's club in the neighborhood.
I've got on my desk Friday, an individual came in and filled out a complaint form because his neighbor owns a house, and the house next to him is a vacant lot. And he's doing handyman-type construction. He's running three or four vehicles, and he's got them parked everywhere out of his house.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking his phone calls there. He's not actually doing the work there. But okay. But he runs it out of there, and it's causing some congestion on their street.
I think that definition, if I remember one of the complaints we've had in the last 2 weeks, was based off a home-occupied business. What is that, and where do we stop our boundaries, and where do we, you know...
We need a good definition.
We really need a good definition of that. That's probably a key, because I think we could all come up with different ones. We need some samples or some suggestions and...
Again, I'll bring to your attention there is a process for home occupation in our code book further on, and it gets into those. It's part of the special use, and the special use does not change the residential nature of under home occupation of that, and it doesn't change it to a commercial use.
Some home occupation businesses don't need a permit, and others do.
That's my question is.
I don't know which ones. How do you say it's well, okay for me to
question.
Sell Avon, but it's not okay for me to
but
run
see,
a real estate agent?
I don't want to overstep our boundaries,
right.
And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to pull back
right.
What the perception, because my perception is at any given time I maybe have been in violation of the code book.
Sure.
And just taking a phone call.
So we need to coordinate this with the actual code section that talks about which ones need to be permitted and which ones don't,
mm-hmm.
to see if this definition is okay or if it's not, it's too vague.
And I would say that's a hot topic. I mean, obviously
sure.
Agriculture, but home occupation was one of those things that was brought up in the last
mm-hmm.
2 weeks. So we really make sure that's a priority on the list of.
I mean, there's home-based businesses that you'll never even know were in there.
Right.
You know, but they just have to draw the line somewhere.
We do. We just need to define it better so we know where to draw the line.
Well,
well, a home occupation would have to be by the resident, though. I mean,
stockbroker. You call your stockbroker and say invest money on Wall Street, and you thought you gained by that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that needs to be defined so better, and then it needs to be tied to our special use permit. What is that?
But if it says, okay, this is a home occupation, but only if you have a home occupation that creates traffic or something in your neighborhood, then maybe that's an okay definition. But if it doesn't, in the other part,
right.
define it better, this may not be a good definition. So it needs to be looked at in conjunction
right.
with
I mean, you have things like appraisers and there's a lot of businesses where no traffic is created. They don't have anybody coming to their home or anything like that.
I'm just saying it needs to be coordinated with the other part, not taken in isolation to see if it's okay. It may be a problem.
Because the thing is, being consistent to enforce is what I'm looking at, because if we can't consistently enforce this definition, then it looks like we're out to get people versus doing our job. And so we don't want either one. We want to be consistent on the enforcement side too. So,
I'm asking that we highlight that whole
oh, yeah.
home occupation thing.
And he's made some good notes. And just for those listening, it's 12:10, and I was hoping to get through pages 10. We're on pages 8. Let's go for a little bit more here. Go ahead.
Impervious cover, the principal measure of development density. It is the coverage within a development of all rooftops, roads, drives, walks, or hard surface trails, parking lots, and other hard surface areas. Impervious coverage is expressed as a percentage of the total development site for projects in which all structures or buildings and other elements of impervious cover are approved in the permit. For new developments, impervious cover shall be expressed as a percentage of the unimproved area.
All right.
Importance factor. A weighing of criticality, what a word, factor that is used when scoring relative policies to allow each score to have greater or lesser overall impact based on how important that policy is to overall planning goals. Are you familiar with what we're talking there?
Yeah.
It's a multiplier.
The scoring sheet.
Basically, it has to do with performance-based zoning, which may not be in the next...
I want to say that may go away because because I've heard enough complaints on our scoring system. I'm sure we all have. So may I highlight that, because I think that's going to go away, because really that is based toward performance zoning.
Are you, and let me ask you this, because we're going to be going through a lot of this, this whole thing. There's some of those things that need to be highlighted in. If you're going to highlight, you need to bring a couple of different colors so that, because some of them may be totally revision color and totally done away with color.
Well, and I'm getting a copy where I can then type in and highlight on a document that we can say, highlight this and make a comment about why we're highlighting. So I don't have that version now, but I will for the next meeting. Importance factor. Is that the same thing? So we'll skip that. Highlight that.
That's what we just did.
I'm sorry. You're right. I looked at the impervious cover. I'm sorry. Improved area.
Improved area commercial. That portion of a commercial operation that consists of the structure, parking, and maintained area that is part of the visible facility. This does not include the parts of a commercial property which are not maintained or which have no visible structure. Commercial uses classified as home occupations or special use permits shall not be used to establish commercial viability.
All that means is...
That's confusing me.
If it's a home occupation, a special use permit, you can't use that to say, this area is very commercial, so my commercial operation that I want to put in next to these two things is compatible with the neighborhood.
Okay, can we clean that definition? That seems very confusing to the layman, because this is not written for lawyers. It's written for the common person. Doesn't it seem...
Well, I understand, because...
You live and breathe it. Frank, what do you think? Is it confusing?
It's confusing.
We need to clean this up, because that's confusing to me. I read this thing once in Blue Moon. It needs to be real simple. I know what you're saying, Bob. Makes sense.
It's in there, and I'm not saying it doesn't need to be cleaned up or anything, but just like he said, just because Mr. Preston has the right to do a home occupation type business, you can't come in and say, I want to put my... restaurant here, and he's within 1,000 feet of me, so I have compatibility.
Right.
So that's basically what that last section is saying.
But try to highlight that and try to clear up that definition so that it's easier to understand that.
Improvement. General term for anything that must be built or provided to comply with any absolute policy or other condition of this code.
All right.
Institutional use, those uses organized, established, used, or intended for use in the promotion of public, religious, educational, charitable, cultural, social, or philanthropic activities normally operated on a nonprofit basis. Such uses are not considered to be a commercial activity.
Bob, you good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right, moving on.
Junk, old, dilapidated, scrapped, or abandoned metal, plastic, paper, plastic, building materials, equipment, bottles, glass, appliances, furniture, beds and bedding, rags and rubber.
Is that used anywhere else in the code book? The word junk. Here, I'm going to do a
There
search.
Is a section in there that talks about junk yards, and that's why it's in there. Any most of these words will be used somewhere else because they're supposed
Salvage
to be there.
Yard.
I think that definition needs improvement, because there are things that aren't in there that
I know.
Might qualify as junk. I don't think it's a very good definition at all.
I didn't say it was. But I agree with you. It's not by any means that... It looks like if you don't fall into one of those categories, that would be fine. There needs to be some wording.
Would you
in there.
Work on that? Highlight that. Work on that definition.
I could just put the junk.
You could. Wow, I'm thinking. I'm not gonna say it on the air.
Junkyard Salvage Yard, a place where discarded or salvaged materials, construction equipment, three or more inoperative or wrecked motor vehicles and their parts, inoperative machinery or trailers and their parts, watercraft, and junk is dismantled, stored, bought, sold, exchanged, recycled, bale packed, disassembled, or handled, including all auto salvage yards, wrecking yards, and house wrecking yards.
Okay, and you have a description of what they have to do if they have this?
Yes. In Section 4, there's a salvage yard definition.
Okay, so what you're saying is they need a, in some locations you need a fence. Is that handled by us or is that handled by state statute?
Yes.
Both?
It is both.
We have a nuisance. To be honest, this definition and the last one may have been changed some when the nuisance ordinance was adopted, which wasn't the best written ordinance in the world, but...
I didn't write it.
It created changes in these definitions, which you may want to look at.
Didn't you write the nuisance ordinance?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I just...
Well, this is an area that when I first started with planning and zoning in 2006, that we would go out and you know, when we saw the situation, we would send them down the road toward like a special use permit, because I believe it's indicated in special use, if I'm not mistaken.
It is in there.
Three cars does not constitute, in most people's opinion, a junkyard. However, it violates our nuisance ordinance, so it's been put in here.
So, but 2 or 3 years ago, that the instruction and the vote was that we would no longer pursue this in planning and zoning, and it would be handled under the nuisance ordinance. So we don't.
Well, then I take. Then
we need to highlight that if we're not dealing with.
Refer to nuisance ordinance or something, I wouldn't even leave it in there.
Well, actually, we need to deal with junk yards. I mean, we're talking about commercial operations.
Now, we have that dealt with in here later on.
But you've got to define it. If you're using the word, you've got to define it.
I'm just saying that
right, so
the definition
that's
in
fine.
Such a way.
It's just a definition. We define what the salvage yard junkyard is. I think it's in Section 4. Let me just show it again here. Page... Right here, auto wrecking yards, junk yards, all that. That's how we start defining it for later on in the code book on page 49.
There are states,
which is this rate will be about 2013.
Well, the number 3 is what's confusing issue. And that was lowered, that been lowered, I think, twice. And I know for sure once since I've been in
office. Where is does 3 need to be there?
That number has been there since I've been here, so I don't know who said it.
My understanding it went in there was during the nuisance ordinance.
Do we have the word 3 in our nuisance ordinance?
I don't remember.
I don't do the nuisance ordinance, so I don't know offhand.
It was an individual had a, I think it was, and somebody said we got to get it lower.
Is there anything wrong with highlighting that number 3 and trying to figure out why there's 3 and why not 4 and why not 2?
We need to look at the definition of... As defined of salvage.
Can you define that and make a note, Eddie, that we're going to pull it back as it relates to nuisance ordinance?
There are planning dictionaries that define these.
I have a planning dictionary, so I may be able to share that with the group. All right, we are on page 8. Get ready to go to 9. Let me see.
No, I'm saying that we need to
stop
at this point. We're at, and it's taken quite a little bit longer.
45 minutes to do 8 pages.
So I would like to.
You want to read that last definition so we're done with the page?
Yeah.
Okay.
This could go until
20. You don't want to read that one.
Okay.
You want to hold that one for next week?
That'll be all right. But you can hold it till next week.
Okay.
That's more than 5 minutes, I can tell you that.
Okay. Now, what we've done here is we've went over this and we've talked and we've got some highlighted areas, and there's several highlighted areas that need to be a form of discussion. Those few changes that we can make can pacify and satisfy a lot of questions that we've had as commissioners and as the general public. Some of it, I thought Jim made a very good statement there when he said this needs to be in layman terms instead of professional terms. A lot of that stuff that needs to be where the public can understand it so they don't have questions.
All right. I mean, they need to be able to pull it down, read it, and say, I understand what they're trying to say.
And there's going to be, there's going to be stuff that there's questions about
with
certain individuals. But it doesn't have to be so unexplainable that we sitting here don't understand it ourselves.
Exactly.
Unless we're dealing with it.
I 100% agree with you on that.
So We're going to recess this, and when do we have the next scheduled meeting?
So a couple things here. We're going to stop there, Eddie, and we're going to work on how we're going to make sure we're tracking these changes and recommendations. So you and I need to get together with Sean and figure out how we make sure we get we'll work on that. The next public zoning discussions with, on the code book review is 10 o'clock, which will probably now be 9 o'clock Wednesday morning. And we've got...
Did you get that changed?
Yeah, we have it 10 o'clock right now. We're going to make it 9 o'clock because then the municipality's planning zoning discussion is going to be rescheduled because of the death of Lloyd Presley. Mayor Rayanne won't be able to make it, so we're going to reschedule that. But we are going to go ahead and continue to have the P&Z code book review, which means we'll start with page land disturbance on page 8 and go until we can go about an hour and a half or so on that, which we should get through page... hopefully we can get back up to 20. I mean, it'd be good to have 10 pages a session. We are going to recess here in just a few seconds here, and we will rejoin at 1:30 with Roden Bridge, and then we have a 2 o'clock with Delta Dental, 3 o'clock with the advisory board, and, of course, 7 o'clock tonight for those listening in. So with that, anything, Eddie,
yeah,
go ahead.
So do you want a recap of this at the start of the next meeting?
Oh, goodness.
You see what I'm saying? Because we've done all this stuff, but you're probably going to want to see.
Well, I don't know at this point. I would say I would sure like to identify before. Let's get through the definitions to a stopping point, then recap.
Okay.
Because otherwise we could recap and never move forward. And
we might get another height in building.
Well, we might be able to find another discrepancy in there in the glossary. So let's say no recap until we get through all those pages.
So we won't really work on any. I mean, we can start looking at this.
You can work on them, but just don't present them to the commission yet. Just be prepared to continue on.
Eddie, and what I said a while ago, I think is prevalent to what we're talking about. There's certain things in here that Jim and I and you and Bob and all of us said that definitely needs to be changed. That needs to be to where when we relook at it, we say, look, this was such a concern that it may be totally taken out. It needs to be highlighted in a different color than what one color is where there's one word that needs to be changed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the way I would.
Yeah, I wasn't aware exactly what we're going to be doing.
I think we're going to work on it and form a basis to how we're going to make a judgment on it.
You can turn it off now.
So that's why I came like I came. I just didn't know exactly what we're
right,
doing.
Right.
So we're going to keep on doing it. All right. Well, then I will call recess until 1:30. Thank you all.